Shalom, welcome to Ask JTF, the program in which we attempt to answer questions from great JTFers and from other people who view our programs. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sarah, and Dorit Bat Sarah, and to Ilui Neshamot, elevating of the souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Daniel Nankin, Victor Chazdai, Pesach Zev Ben Dov, Lunita Adler, Shifra Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Barry Hoffman, Harab Mir Kahana, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba, Yosef Ben Meir, Robert Mittman, Dennis Shur, Helen Friedman, and Charles Zolot. Okay, we're going to start off right away with questions. By the way, in this format, people who want to ask questions have to go to our forum. They have to register and become members of the forum in order to ask a question, and you can see where the posts are for the questions in the general discussion section. And there's a limit to 300 characters for the questions for each post. And so let's begin with the questions. We start off with Joe Gutfeld, who is a longtime JTFer, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, who would you like to see run on the Republican side in the next presidential election? I hope you have a happy new year. Well, first of all, I wish you, Joe, and all of our viewers, Shana Tova, a happy new year, not just a happy new year, but a good new year, a healthy new year, and especially a moral and meaningful new year. I wish that for all of our wonderful JTFers. As far as whom I would like to see as the Republican candidate in the next presidential election in 2024, the answer to that question is easy. It's the person that we supported in 2016, Ted Cruz. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas is the only honest major politician who would even be in the running. And so he's the one that we obviously would like to see. Do I think that he will be the Republican nominee? I think the odds are against him. First of all, if Donald Trump decides to run again in 2024, assuming he's not indicted and he's not prevented from running because of a criminal indictment, which can happen, that's very possible, or some other event that can prevent him from running, because he is also getting older, he's in his 70s, who knows what could happen between now and then. But assuming he's healthy enough and assuming he's able legally to run, if he decides to run, I think he will be the Republican nominee. I don't think he'll have any serious challenge for the Republican nomination, because he has hypnotized tens of thousands of Republicans and conservatives in a way that I think is very destructive to the conservative cause and to the Republican cause, because I don't think he was a good president. I think that just look at all the issues where he made promises. He promised he would control spending. Spending was increased at a faster rate than under left-wing Democrats when he was president. He promised he'd build a big, beautiful wall all across the U.S.-Mexico border. Big, beautiful wall all across the border. The wall that he built was maybe 5% of what he promised. Maybe 5%. 95% is completely unbuilt and nothing was done there. And he didn't even try to build it for the first 2 years of his administration. And then it was just a half-hearted effort, because he never really cared about that issue. He doesn't care about any issue except self-aggrandizement and ego. So he didn't build the wall. He didn't take care of the problems facing this country. He increased the national debt by trillions of dollars at a faster rate than Barack Hussein Obama or Bill Clinton or left-wing Democrats. On the issue of the homosexual and transgender insanity that's destroying the United States, that got far worse during his presidency, because he himself promoted it. He himself went on Fox News, and when he was asked what he thought about Pete Buttigieg being married to another man, said that it's wonderful. He praised it. He praised homosexual sodomite marriage. He said it was wonderful. So the moral decline of the country when it comes to abortions, when it comes to homosexuality, when it comes to the transgender insanity, that all got worse during his presidency. No wall was built. Nothing was done about the fundamental problems that threaten America's survival. And when it comes to Israel, he was a catastrophe. He had Israel signing agreements with Persian Gulf countries that are worth hundreds of billions of dollars that were going to buy up Israel's entire economy. that wanted to buy up the whole Israeli stock market and all Israeli technology companies, it would be an absolutely suicidal catastrophe for Israel. And he was signing agreements together with Kushner, who had business dealings with all of these Persian Gulf Arabs. His son-in-law Kushner, who was a self-hating Jew, who was deep in debt until he made business dealings with these with the Persian Gulf Arabs, who basically got him out of debt. And so on. Israel, Trump was bad. Yes, he was terrible on Israel. Terrible on Israel. And endangered Israel. And the Trump so-called peace plan in the Middle East would have been national suicide for Israel. Trump wanted to create in his plan a so-called independent Palestinian state. He would have created a situation where Israel would have given up 90 to 95% of Judea and Samaria. Israel would have returned to borders that are only 6 to 9 miles wide. Israel would have given up even portions of the pre-1967 borders. He had Israel giving up territory everywhere. Israel would have been completely indefensible under the Trump so-called peace plan. And Benjamin Netanyahu supported that. And all the other crazy, self-hating, evil politicians in Israel were supporting it. It was a very dangerous period for Israel. And so he was bad for Israel, bad for America. He was not a good president. And if he runs again, I think he would lose. I think the Republicans will lose. I think the majority of the American people do not like him and are not hypnotized by his craziness. So I think he'd win the Republican nomination, but I think he would lose in the November election. If he does not run, the front runner right now seems to be Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who's also a phony. In my opinion, also a phony pseudo-conservative. So, you know, to me, the only sincere guy there was Ted Cruz, is Ted Cruz, will be Ted Cruz. That's the way I look at it. Okay, thank you, Joe Gutfeld. And now we're going to the next questioner, who is... I don't speak the Croatian language, so I don't know how to pronounce the name, but this is a good member of ours, a very good member in JTF. Hrvatski Noahide. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. And Hrvatski writes, and I quote, "Croatia and Israel have had diplomatic relations for 24 years. There is a Croatian-Israeli society in the center of Zagreb. Do you welcome these developments?" Unquote. Hrvatski, I really believe that you are a righteous person and really the type of righteous Gentile that would make this a wonderful world if everybody was like you. So I hope you'll stay with our forum after I say what I'm going to say here. The Croats murdered tens of thousands of Jewish men, women, and children during the Holocaust. I'm not blaming you for it, but the Croat people as a whole had a Nazi government that fanatically fought together with Nazi Germany, and that operated Croat death camps and Croat concentration camps. They murdered tens of thousands of Jews. They murdered well over a million Serbs. They perpetrated a Holocaust against the Serbs. And the great enemy of the Croats, the Serbs, were actually the group that did not hurt Jews, that did not persecute Jews, that fought heroically against the Nazis. And the Serbs told the Jews in Yugoslavia, "You can fight with us, come to the mountains and fight with us." And most Jews didn't listen, and most Yugoslav Jews didn't listen. And so 90% of the Yugoslav Jews, unfortunately, were murdered. But those Jews who did listen and went and fought in the mountains together with the heroic Serbs, those Jews survived the Holocaust. Most of them survived. The vast majority of them survived because the Croats did not hurt Jews and were good to the Jews. Not the Croats, I'm sorry. The Serbs did not hurt Jews and were good to the Jews. So those who went with the Serbs and fought with them survived. The Croats, on the other hand, brutally, sadistically, savagely murdered tens of thousands of Jews and over a million Serbs. And in fact, they were so brutal that there were many cases where the German SS, who committed the worst crimes in human history, even the German SS were shocked by Croat brutality. It was absolutely horrific. So why is there a Croat Israeli society now, and why the Croatians want good relations with Israel? Because Eastern European countries, all these countries that murdered Jews, the Poles, the Hungarians, the Romanians, the Croats, these were nations of Nazi Jew killers. And they murdered huge numbers of Jews, and the Holocaust would have been far fewer Jews murdered during the Holocaust if not for the Eastern European, these Eastern European Slavic countries that slaughtered the Jews. And yet all of them now want good relations with Israel. Why? They want good relations with Israel because they believe that the American Jewish community is very powerful, and they feel that if they have good relations with Israel, this will give them an in with the Jewish community in the United States, and this will improve their relationship with the United States and offer them an opportunity to have better military, diplomatic, and commercial relations with America. That's the reason why they want good relations with Israel. Yeah, they have an ulterior motive. I don't believe or trust a nation that murdered the Jews, and we will never forgive and never forget those who murdered our people. They will never be forgiven and will never be forgotten. And again, you weren't born when this happened, so I certainly don't blame you, and I do believe that you sincerely support Israel and support the Jewish people, and that you're not like this. I understand that. But unfortunately, your people as a whole, the vast majority of your people did support the Nazis. And so I have to answer your question honestly, and I hope you'll still be with us after my very sincere answer, but I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to tell you something that isn't true. I don't trust or believe in any of this. When countries that murdered Jews all of a sudden want good relations with Israel because they want American Jews to influence the U.S. government so that they could have better relations with the United States government, that doesn't cut it with me. I will never forgive and never forget what they did to our people during the Holocaust. But we're happy to have you on our forum, and I hope you'll still be on our forum after the sincere answer I gave you. Thank you very much. And now we go to the next questioner, Chabad Kahanis, who is also a very good JTFer, a great member of our forum. And he writes, and I quote, "What do you think of Bennett being Mechalel Shabbat last week in regard to monitoring the capture of the terrorists?" Unquote. Oh, it was just another example of what an absolute fraud and a phony Naftali Bennett is. There was no reason for Naftali Bennett to violate Shabbat. Mechalel Shabbat means violating the Sabbath, violating Shabbat. There was no reason for Bennett to do that. And Bennett claims he wears a kippah on his head, the kippah the size of a quarter, but still, he pretends to be a religious Jew every now and then, even though he was caught eating in a non-kosher restaurant and many other things. And it's just a complete phony, a complete fraud. Always was a fraud, always was, always will be. But he decided he wants to get in on the action and the capture of the Arab terrorists who escaped from an Israeli prison. In other words, six Arab terrorists, we did a program on this last week, six Arab terrorists, notorious Arab terrorist murderers, escaped from an Israeli prison. And four of them were captured last week, and Naftali Bennett wanted to get some of the credit, so he actually violated Shabbat in order to run in and supposedly participate, as if the Prime Minister is participating in the capture of these terrorists. The Prime Minister has nothing to do, physically or otherwise, with the capture of these terrorists. Nothing that he would say or do or his presence there would have anything to do with the capture of these terrorists. So it was just completely obscene, and it was him trying to grab good headlines in the news media and trying to get credit for something that he deserves no credit for. On the contrary, he and the other phony traitor politicians who are running Israel should be blamed for the fact that these Arab terrorists are still alive. Why isn't he executing these Arab terrorist mass murderers? These terrorists slaughtered innocent Jewish men, women, and children and promised to exterminate the entire Jewish people. Why isn't Naftali Bennett executing them? Why aren't they being killed, executed, put in front of firing squads, or killed in any other way that they choose for the horrific crimes that they committed against the Jewish people? Instead of doing that, he's playing these little games, and he violated Shabbat, which is a chilul Hashem, which is a desecration of God's name. It's a disgrace when you have the Prime Minister of Israel, who is supposed to represent the Jewish people in the land of Israel, violating Shabbat. That is a terrible disgrace. Thank you very much, Chabad Kahanist. And now we go to Ram770. And Ram770 writes, and I quote, "Hello, Chaim Ben Pesach, dear friends. How about making a demonstration in front of the House of Interior Minister Ayelet Shaked for your immigration to Israel, unquote. Well, Ram, unfortunately, I mean, if tens of thousands of people would demonstrate, or even thousands would demonstrate in front of our house for my aliyah to Israel, I'd be all in favor of it. The problem is, Ram, very few people will show up. Very few people will show up for the demonstration, and it's not going to get any media coverage. You know, the media in Israel doesn't like me, and they do know me, by the way. Most of the media in Israel do know who I am. They do not like me, and in fact, they hate me, and so they're not going to cover it. And it would just be maybe two or three or four people would show up. Nothing will be accomplished. Nothing will be accomplished, unfortunately. But thank you for the suggestion, and thank you for the question. We go on now to David 2, who writes, Chaim, what is your opinion of Tovia Singer, unquote? Oh, this is going to be controversial, this answer, because I don't know if he has any fans. I hope he doesn't have any fans among our people. I hope our people are smart enough not to admire someone like this. I think he's a very sick individual, very sick person. This is someone who's supposed to be an Orthodox rabbi and moved to Muslim Indonesia, to live in Muslim Indonesia for 5 years and operate a so-called synagogue in Muslim Indonesia, Indonesia being the largest Muslim country in the world. Indonesia being a country, a Muslim Nazi country, that together with the other nations in the Islamic, they have an Islamic organization where all the Muslim nations get together. They all vote for resolutions to destroy Israel, to cleanse Israel, Jerusalem of the Jews, and Nazi declarations that come out of these Islamic conferences. And Indonesia is one of the enthusiastic participants there. And Singer decides to move to Indonesia for 5 years. I don't think he's there now. I think he left. But he decided to live there for 5 years. Just insanity. And he formed a group called Etz Chaim Indonesia Foundation. Etz Chaim means the tree of life. In Indonesia? An Indonesia foundation like that for a Muslim Nazi country that wants to destroy the Jewish people? It's sick. I mean, just sick. This is someone who very strongly and effectively criticizes Christian missionaries. He's very, very critical of the Christian missionaries and strongly and very effectively criticizes them. And on that issue, we agree with him. JTF agrees with him 100% on the issue of the Christian missionaries. And he's actually a good spokesman when he attacks the Christian missionaries. On that issue, he actually does a good job. But he defends and praises Nazi Islam. He praises them. He says Islam and Judaism are very similar religions. Islam and Judaism, lahabdil, belef alfei habdalot, are similar religions? What, are you kidding me? Islam, which says that the entire world must become Muslim and that all non-Muslim infidels must eventually either be forcibly converted or exterminated, that's similar to Judaism? A crazy religion with an insane follower who married a six-year-old girl, Aisha. Six-year-old girl, the Muhammad, the Muslim pedophile who founded Islam. He married a six-year-old girl, and according to the hadith, they had sexual relations when she was 9 years old. And this sick, demented pedophile who raped Jewish women, captured Jewish women and raped them and murdered and cut the heads off of Jewish men and boys when he captured towns in the Arabian Peninsula. This mass murderer, this pedophile, this rapist, this vicious liar and who claimed that the angel Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, spoke to him in a cave. Yeah, sure. And the whole Quran is based upon him speaking to the angel Gabriel, and all of it are repeated stories that he copied, either from the Jewish Talmud or the Jewish or the Torah or the Tanakh or the Christian Bible. He has stories from the Christian Bible too that he put into the Quran. All of it copied and distorted, by the way, because he didn't remember what he was saying. Completely, he distorts the stories, but he copies versions of the stories from Judaism and from Christianity and puts them in the Quran. And then calls upon Muslims to wage jihad eternal war until they conquer the world and exterminate all the non-Muslims. A religion that says that Muslims must lie to the non-Muslim infidels. Taqiyya, it's called. Taqiyya is Muslim deception. You're supposed to lie to the non-Muslims and pretend to be for peace. And then you cut their throats or stab them in the back whenever you get a chance, which is what Muhammad did. That's what he did in the Quran, and he brags about it. And I mean, a religion that says that the whole world has to be Dar al-Islam, under the control of Islam, and that all nations that aren't Muslim are Dar al-Kharb, are the abode of the sword. In other words, no non-Muslim nation has any legitimacy, has any right to exist. Certainly, if he says, if the Quran and Islam say, as it does, it clearly states that non-Muslim nations have no right to exist. If countries like the United States and Brazil and Belgium and South Africa and other countries that are not Muslim don't have a right to exist, then certainly the Jewish state of Israel, which is in the middle of the Muslim world and in the middle of the Arab world, a little Jewish state right in the middle of the Muslim world, right in the middle of the Arab world, they'll never accept Israel. They will never be happy till they exterminate the Jews of Israel, God forbid. And if Hashem did not miraculously intervene to protect the Jews of Israel, they would have done it a long time ago already. And this barbarous religion, whose adherents murder rape victims instead of the rapist, when someone gets raped in Pakistan or in other Muslim countries, the rape victim is executed. She's guilty, not the rapist. I mean, this is the most barbaric, horrific religion. And this primitive, barbaric, ignorant religion that brought nothing but darkness to the world, he praises them and says it's similar to Judaism? This is a very, very sick person. He kisses Muslim Nazi tuchuses endlessly and excuses Quran Nazi Jew hatred and whitewashes it endlessly. He's a very sick person. Thank you very much for your question, David. And now we go to Tag Mechir Tzedek, who is also a long-time JTFer. Thank you, Tag Mechir, for coming to ask questions. And Tag Mechir writes, and I quote, "Can you give some Divrei Torah on Sukkot?" Unquote. Oh, I love the upcoming Jewish holiday, the holiday which we refer to as Chag HaSukkot. Sukkot means like the tabernacle. Chag HaSukkot is the holiday of the tabernacles, because Jews set up this temporary dwelling place outside of their home on Sukkot, and they eat there and really, really supposed to sleep there. I admit that I don't sleep in the Sukkah, but it would be good to sleep there. It's something that should be done. I don't know. I think I would have a hard time falling. I just don't think I'd fall asleep there. But you know, that's something on my conscience that, you know, unfortunately I really should do it, because we're supposed to really even sleep in the Sukkah. It's actually good to sleep in the Sukkah. But I love Sukkot. And I love everything about the holiday. And what is the purpose of setting up this temporary dwelling? It's almost like a tent, but it's a tent without a complete cover. The roof is not completely covered. You can see the sun, and the roof is exposed. And it's very, very temporary. It's obvious you're in a temporary place. You're not in the security of your permanent home with your big walls and roof and everything. You don't have that security. What's the point of it? The point is to show us how temporary life itself is, how temporary everything is in our transition in this world, how fast life goes. And how, just in the Sukkah, we're dependent on Hashem, because during Sukkot, if it rains, if it starts raining, you're permitted to go inside and eat. If it's not raining, if the weather's nice, you're supposed to eat in the Sukkah. But we're dependent on God for that. God controls whether or not it rains. God controls the weather. It really, Sukkot really shows us our complete dependence on Hashem, and how temporary life is, and how temporary our transition in this world is, and how quickly things can change. And of course, that's life now, but we Jews also believe that the day will come with Tehiyat HaMetin, with resurrection of the dead, and with Chayei HaNetzach, with eternal life, that we're going to have eternal life someday. Those who merit having eternal life, Ba'olam Haba, in the world to come. So the beauty of the holiday is something that I love the holiday, I love this time of year. And by the way, it's also a holiday that's relevant to the Gentiles, and there are Gentiles who also participate on Sukkot, because the Gentiles also are in a world that is temporary, and where they're also completely dependent on Hashem. Their destiny is also dependent on Hashem, and their life is also a life that goes by very fast. It's true for all of us. And so this is a holiday where we really have a lot of thinking to do and a lot of waking up to do, so that we'll understand what our purpose is in this world, how quickly life goes by, and how important it is that we fulfill our purpose in life. Thank you, Tag Mechir Tzedek. And now we go to Kahana Was Right, BT, who is another great JTFer, who writes, and I quote, "Why does the Orthodox community seem so susceptible to charlatans who spread medical misinformation and conspiracy theories? And what do you see as the best way to combat such people that are leading people astray?" Unquote. I don't know what to do, because, I mean, I had a friend who vehemently argued with me against the vaccines. The vaccines, by the way, from Pfizer and from Moderna and from Johnson & Johnson are effective. Over 90% of the people who are sick now, who are either hospitalized or dying in Israel now, over 90% are unvaccinated people, even though the unvaccinated are only 13 or 14% of the adult population now, but they're over 90% of the deaths and the hospitalizations in Israel. It is so obvious. Just look at the statistics, not only in Israel, in any country. Look in this country at the statistics, who gets sick and who dies in much greater numbers. It's the unvaccinated. If not for the unvaccinated, this entire thing would have been past us already. We would have been past all of this nightmare already. The people that are continuing to give us this nightmare, that are imposing this nightmare on all of us, are the unvaccinated. And I don't know if they're all charlatans. I think some of them are just insane. I mean, there are people that I know who just for some reason they're insane. They believe this stuff. It's insanity. I can't, or either insanity or completely devoid of logic and common sense. I had a friend, I was about to mention that, I had a friend who vehemently argued with me, an Orthodox Jew, vehemently would argue with me against the vaccinations. And he said, I would have joined JTF, but I see that you're in favor of the vaccinations, and I was zealously opposed to it, convinced that it was the worst thing you could do and that this is all ridiculous, and wouldn't get vaccinated. And he was my age. I'm going to be 65. I'm going to be 65 years old soon, so I'm an old man. And he was an old man too. He was my age. And what happened? He got the virus. He wouldn't get vaccinated. He got the virus, and he died, and it killed him. And you would think, after this horrible experience, and he was a nice person, by the way. His position on this issue was crazy, but he was a nice person. So it really hurt me to see this. And he got the virus, and now his two sons still refuse to get vaccinated and still are against the vaccine. They learned nothing. Their own father was lost because of this, and they learned nothing. I don't know what the answer is when you deal with such incredible, incredible illogical thinking. I just don't know. And I've seen you arguing with people on the forum, Kahana Was Right, and presenting very logical and rational reasons why the vaccine is necessary. But unfortunately, there are certain people who just, no matter what you tell them, they're just not going to be moved by it. I don't know why. We have to keep trying, of course, because it's a matter of pikuach nefesh, of saving lives. So we have to try. But the people who are unvaccinated are endangering not just themselves, they're endangering all of us. Thank you very much, Kahana was right. And now we go on to Chicago Jew, who was involved for years with SJTF, a very good person, and we're glad to see. I remember you used to come to the ask questions on the old SJTF program, and I'm glad to see you here this week, Chicago Jew. Chicago Jew writes, and I quote, "I have already taken the Chinese flu vaccine. However, I'm against it being mandatory. Your opinion," unquote. Well, I don't think we can grab people and tie them down and forcibly give them the vaccine. I don't think we can do that. I just don't see a practical way of doing that. But I do believe that businesses and government offices and others have a right to say, if you're going to be so crazy as to not get vaccinated, I don't want you infecting me. So if I had a business, or if I had a grocery store or a restaurant or any type of store, whatever store, even a technology store, whatever, if I had a store, I wouldn't want unvaccinated people coming to my store, even though I would lose business. It's true, I would lose business, because in this country there's a high percentage of people that are still unvaccinated, amazingly. But I wouldn't want, I don't want to die. I was sick, if you recall, in April. Those of you who were with the forum in April, I was sick. I got the COVID in April, and it knocked the hell out of me. And of course, much worse than that, I suffered terribly with it, terribly with that very, very serious disease. And even worse than that, my mother got it. My beautiful mother, who was the kindest, most beautiful human being I've ever known in my life, and 4.5 months ago she died as a result of being infected with the COVID vaccine, with the COVID virus. And she was actually one of the rare breakthrough cases. You know, she was vaccinated and she got it anyway, but that's a rare case, and because she was almost 88 years old, and she had been a cancer survivor, and she had been, been 13 years ago she had a heart attack, so she she had a lot of issues there, so she was very vulnerable. So she was a rare breakthrough case. But the fact is that the fact is that this is a very dangerous virus, and I don't want to die. I mean, I'm an old guy now, in my mid 60s. If I get it, next time I get it, God forbid, I could die. I don't want to die. So I don't want to get it. I don't want people's ignorance to cause my death. I don't want that to happen. So I think that businesses and private companies, I think they have a right to say, if you're unvaccinated, don't come here. We don't want to do business with you. We don't want you coming in our store. I think they have a right to do that. So, but we can't tie people down and forcibly give them the shot. That we can't do. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And now we go on to another great JTFer for a long time, Italian Zionist, who writes, and I quote, "I would like to begin by offering my condolences and prayers for your loss. I don't know what I would do without my mother in my life." Unquote. Okay, first of all, let me just thank you for that, Italian Zionist. Yes, and 4.5 months after the loss of my mother, I'm still devastated. Devastated. I was very close to my mother. My sister was also very close to my mother. Both of us, it's just devastating, because she was such a wonderful human being that, life is just not the same, and it can't be the same without that beautiful woman in this world. And now Italian Zionist writes, and I quote, "What is your opinion of Curtis Sliwa? Thank you." Unquote. I don't like Curtis Sliwa because I think he's a phony. He was forced to admit years ago that he made up Guardian Angels stories. First of all, he forms this group called the Guardian Angels, where he has black and Hispanic youth patrolling subways, supposedly to protect people. Now, I'm all for people being protected. I don't, by the way, I don't trust the type of youth that Sliwa was recruiting to protect people. But put that aside for the moment. I think people know what my views are on that subject. But put that aside for the moment. He made up stories about guardian angels supposedly doing things and solving crimes and all types of things. And he had to admit later, he was forced to admit because it was proven, that he made these stories up. You can look them up, you can Google the information if you're curious about it, but he admitted that he just plain outright lied and made up numerous stories about things that the guardian angel supposedly did, and he just complete lies. So he's a proven liar. And then, you know, I was a guest on his show several times when he was on the radio. And he was on a couple of radio stations in New York, and he had a decent-sized audience. I don't know exactly what his ratings were, what his audience was, but it was a decent-sized audience. And I was on his show. I was on his show several times. And every time I was on his show, he was very hostile to me, and even anti-Semitic. He accused me of dual loyalty. He started throwing out the charge of dual loyalty. Are you loyal to America or to Israel? Which is an anti-Semitic charge. That's what all the anti-Semites say. So, you know, the fact that he shows up at Jewish events and pretends to be pro-Jewish for political reasons, and because that's where he's trying to get, you know, his base of support, I don't trust that or believe in that for one second. I saw the anti-Semitic attacks he was making on me on his show, accused basically saying that somebody who's loyal to Israel and believes in Israel is disloyal to America, which is completely absurd, because America and all other countries, all countries in the world, are completely dependent upon Israel. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And God says that is an eternal covenant that he made with the Jewish people and with the nations of the world. Brit Olam means eternal covenant. And that's a covenant that was made Besefer Bereshit in the book of Genesis and in other books in the Bible, repeated by the prophets. If you believe in the Bible, then you know that someone who is not supporting Israel, not loyal to Israel, cannot be loyal to their own country either, are destroying their own country. So it's an absurd charge, but he made that charge. And so, you know, I think he's a phony, and he has no chance of getting elected mayor. Zero chance of getting elected mayor. Unfortunately, the Farrakhan, the black Farrakhan supporter, Eric Adams, is going to be the next mayor of New York. Unfortunately, another phony. Anyway, thank you, Italian Zionist. And now we go to Binyamin Yisrael, who is a great JTFer for many, many years. Goes way back to the very beginning of our forums. Binyamin writes, and I quote, comment on, and now we have a long list of things to comment on, so everybody get ready. Okay, comment on, and I'm going to read them off. I'll go each one. I'll do one at a time. Comment on, one, Michael Jackson, two, his death. Okay, let's do the first two first. Michael Jackson and his death. Michael Jackson was a very sick pedophile and a sodomite who molested 14-year-old boys, including a 14-year-old Jewish boy. He would invite them over to his, I forgot what you call it even. He had this estate with all these different things, rides and all these other things to attract people at his estate. Someone once commented because he said, I invite them over. This is the way he used to speak. I invite them over because I just love the children. I love the children. Yeah, I don't want to say who said this because I don't like the person who said it. He's a self-hating Jew, but on this point he was right. He said, if you love the children so much, where are the little girls? Because you love the children, why only boys? The only people he ever invited or the only people he ever dealt with were boys. A very, very, you know, very sick sodomite and pedophile. He molested children. He was an anti-Semite, and another ungrateful Schwarzer anti-Semite, whose managers were Jewish. The people promoted him were Jewish. Motown was created with Jewish brains. If not for Jewish brains and Jewish ingenuity, there'd be no Motown. There'd be no Michael Jackson. There'd be no Jackson 5. There'd be no who else came out of Motown? The Supremes, the Temptations, the Four Tops, all of these groups from the 1960s. I know that this is ancient history to most of the people listening to this show, but these were groups that dominated music in the 1960s. And if not for Jewish brains and Jewish ingenuity and Jewish creativity, none of them would have had a pot to piss in. And that includes Michael Jackson. And yet he made anti-Semitic attacks on the Jews, saying, "Jew me." He started singing in the show, "Jew me." So, you know, and attacking the Jews who I don't know what the Jews did wrong to him, but because again, if not for the Jews, he would have been a zero. So obviously, I'm no fan of his. Next, Benjamin asks about 3, Prince Rogers Nelson, the musician that resembled Jackson, and 4, Prince's death. Okay, so Prince and Prince's death. Prince is another black so-called musician. Again, another sick person. By the way, Michael Jackson died of a drug overdose, and so did Prince. All these musicians who are considered to be such top rated, they all die of drug overdoses. They're so rich and so famous and achieve such magnificent success, even though they don't deserve it. And then they kill themselves by taking drug overdoses. Really sick. I don't know that much about Prince, except for the fact that he died of a drug overdose. And that he lived a life that was also one of these degenerate, depraved lives. Certainly nothing good for society comes out of him or his so-called music. And 5, Benjamin asks about Larry Elder. Larry Elder is the, we're going to find out tonight, I guess, what happens in California, but he is the leading Republican candidate for governor of California if Gavin Newsom is recalled. I don't think Gavin Newsom is going to be recalled. I think Gavin Newsom is going to win. But if Gavin Newsom is recalled, then Larry Elder would be the leading Republican to replace him. And Larry Elder pretty much is responsible for saving Gavin Newsom. Because Gavin Newsom was facing polls that were showing that it was evenly split. The voters were evenly split. But Republicans and people wanted to get rid of Gavin Newsom is the current governor, the left-wing Democrat governor of California. And the polls showed it was about evenly split. The people who want to throw him out, there's a recall election, by the way. Oh, let me explain this because I don't even know if everybody knows what I'm talking about. There's an election to recall or remove from office Gavin Newsom, who is the governor of California, a left-wing Democrat governor of California. And that election is taking place today, the day that we're doing this program. Now, Gavin Newsom, according to the polls, was in a lot of trouble in the summer. The polls showed it was about evenly split: those who want to throw him out of office and those who don't, because you can recall a politician and throw them out of office under California law. So that's what's on the ballot in California now. And it was evenly split, and that meant that Gavin Newsom was in a lot of trouble because even though it was evenly split, the Republicans and those who wanted to throw Newsom out of office were much more enthusiastic and much more likely to vote than those who wanted to keep him in office. So it looked like he was on his way out, or there was at least a good chance that he was going to be thrown out. Larry Elder then enters the race and becomes his main opponent. This is like a Trump story. And Larry Elder is a black libertarian. And you know, I don't like libertarians. They're immoral. They love drugs. And Larry Elder is a pothead who gets high on pot all the time. That's what his girlfriends have all said. And you know, I believe it. So this pot-smoking libertarian enters the race, after having made all these crazy statements about women and other crazy statements, after having pointed a gun at his former fiancée and doing other things that the Schwarzes are prone to do. And people got scared that he was going to become the governor of California, that if we replace Gavin Newsom, we're going to get him. And they didn't want that. And so because of that, I think now Gavin Newsom is going to survive, and he's going to continue to be governor of California. And an opportunity, a real golden opportunity, to finally have a Republican again in the governor's office in California, I think was ruined by Larry Elder. This is what you what happens when you get Trump-like imbeciles running and taking over the Republican Party. This is what happens. That's my opinion. Okay, six on Binyamin's list, Anthony Blinken. Anthony Blinken is the Secretary of State. He's a self-hating Jew, an intermarried, assimilated, self-hating Jew who played a major role in John Kerry's Iran nuclear deal that gave Iran hundreds of billions of dollars and was rewarding Iran for building nuclear bombs and for being the leading sponsor of international terrorism. So Anthony Blinken is a horrible, self-hating Jew and a dangerous person. Seven, Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is a completely ineffective joke as vice president, but she's very dangerous because if anything happens to Joe Biden, who is senile and very old, and anything can happen to him at any time, she takes over and she becomes president. Her husband is a self-hating Jew. And so that's the last thing we need, is to have a female president with a husband who's a self-hating Jew in the White House. I mean, we would be in a lot of trouble, God forbid. So I pray that Joe Biden stays healthy, even though I hate Joe Biden. I hate him. But I pray that he stays healthy because I don't want Kamala Harris and her self-hating Jewish husband to take over. Okay, Binyamin then writes, asked me about Ayelet Shaked. Ayelet Shaked is the interior minister of Israel, and she was the so-called justice minister. Complete phony. She works with the other phony, Naftali Bennett. She justified the torture of Jewish kids in the hands of the Shabak. Jewish children in the hands of Shabak were tortured because they supposedly retaliated against Arab terrorists, went into Arab towns to retaliate when Arab terrorists carried out attacks, and the Arabs in the Arab towns completely supported the terrorists. And you had young Jews that were accused by the Shabak. Generally speaking, by the way, the Jews who were accused had nothing to do with it even. But the Shabak grabbed Jews and tortured, literally tortured them. And Ayelet Shaked covered up for the Shabak and was part of all of this, so she's an evil person and a fraud. 9. Bezalel Smotrich, another complete phony. This is a guy who supported, you know, the Arabs are building illegally all over Israel and taking over Israel on the ground, which is why we support the Hilltop Youth to try to stop that. And Bezalel Smotrich, the so-called super right-winger, voted in favor and supported building thousands of new apartment units, brand new modern apartment units for the Arabs in Judea and Samaria. He wanted to build thousands of new apartment units for them. And the part of Judea and Samaria that everybody agrees is supposed to be under the control of Israel, even according to the Oslo agreements, but Bezalel Smotrich thinks we should have thousands of Arab new apartments there. I mean, just horrific. And he supported that. He also stayed in the Netanyahu government when they destroyed Amonah and threw hundreds of Jews out of their homes in Migron and in and in Shkunat Ha'ulpena in Beit El. Hundreds of Jews were thrown out of their homes and expelled from their homes, and their homes were destroyed by Netanyahu, that other fraud, that other criminal who was prime minister. And Bezalel Smotrich was part of his government and supported him and stayed in his government when this happened. He's a complete fake, phony fraud. 10. Binyamin writes, the ejection of Ben-Gvir from Knesset session by Ahmed Tibi, Yimach Shmo. Unquote. Yes, well, you know, Ben-Gvir, of course, loved that confrontation. It worked right into, played right into his hands. But meanwhile, Ben-Gvir, another phony, and by the way, you hear me saying this about every politician, they're all phony. Politicians are phonies. I'm sorry. If you don't believe that, then you don't agree with me. If you think politicians are sincere, if you don't like what I say about them, okay, you don't like it. But I think almost all politicians are phonies. Almost all of them. And I know that there are politicians that people admire and respect for some reason. I don't admire and respect them because I know that most of them are frauds. and don't do what they promise to do, and are just advancing themselves in their own careers. Itamar Ben-Gvir is an example of that. Itamar Ben-Gvir, who called himself a Kahanist, but now says that he disagrees with Rabbi Kahana on all of these issues. He now says he no longer believes in any of this, in the Kahanist philosophy, and has done interviews on television saying he doesn't agree with Rabbi Kahana on pretty much every single aspect of Rabbi Kahana's legislation and his proposals. Ben-Gvir now rejects all of it and doesn't agree with it. And yet he's still given credit by people for being a so-called Kahanist, even though he admits that he's not a Kahanist, that he doesn't agree with Rabbi Kahana. And he's betrayed all the principles of Kahanism. And he's become like a Likudnik, defending Netanyahu. And Ben-Gvir said in at least two televised interviews, I don't know if they were televised, but I have videos of them. Ben-Gvir said, and we did videos in Hebrew showing this, Ben-Gvir said that he would accept Ra'am, that he would accept an Arab terrorist party that supports Hamas, he would accept having them as part of a government arrangement, as part of the new government arrangement, he would be willing to make a deal with them. This is what he said openly. So, what a phony. What a complete phony. Thank you very much, Binyamin. And now we go to Ron from Israel, who's not only a great JTFer, but he's a great leader in JTF in Israel, and a Jewish hero as well. Ron from Israel writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, if great saints and heroes from the past, like Avraham Avinu or Moshe Rabbeinu, were alive today, what do you think they would tell people to do in order to save the nation of Israel? Thanks and God bless you, Ron. Unquote. Ron, I think that Avraham Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu would tell, first of all, Jews in Israel that they should join the Hilltop Youth, that they should become part of the Hilltop Youth movement, and if they're not joining the Hilltop Youth, they should at least support and do everything they can to strengthen the Hilltop Youth. The Hilltop Youth are the heroic young Jews who are taking over strategic hilltops in Judea and Samaria to prevent the creation of a so-called Palestinian state. If a so-called Palestinian state arises in Judea and Samaria, chas v'chalila, God forbid, it is suicidal for Israel to accept that. Israel will be 6 to 9 miles wide. The Arab terrorists will be right next to the Israeli airport and be able to shoot down all Israeli planes. All of Israel will be under constant Arab artillery and mortar and missile fire. Israel will not be able to defend herself. It will be completely, Israel will become indefensible. And so, the only thing standing in the way there, one of the things standing in the way, is to prevent the Arabs from taking over these strategic hilltops. If they take over the hilltops where these young Jews have gone in, young Jews have taken over hilltops in Judea and Samaria, to prevent the Arabs from taking them over. Because if the Arabs took them over, they would completely choke off the Jewish communities and the Jewish settlements there, and then we'd have a Palestinian state. We very quickly would have a Palestinian state in everything but name, and then that would be it. It would become inevitable, it would become unpreventable. So the people that JTF is supporting, the Hilltop Youth, are the leaders, are the Maccabees of our generation. They're the hope we have of stopping this. And what bothers me and frankly angers me is the fact that frustrates and angers me is the fact that JTF is the only organization that supports them financially. Only JTF supports them. Not only financially, we do videos for them, and we do other things, public relations things also to help them. But we're the only organization financially supporting them. There is no other organization that gives them money and helps them and supports them. Before JTF came into the picture, they weren't even able to publicize when the Israeli army and Israeli police was sent in by the evil government there to destroy their homes and to throw them out so that they could hand over the territory to the Arabs. This was never even being publicized when the Israeli army and the Israeli police would come in and brutally throw people out and physically attack the heroic young Jews there. This wasn't even being publicized. Why? Because the young Jews there were so busy trying to survive on these remote hilltops. They were fighting a battle for survival, didn't have any money, any resources, anything. They didn't have time even to publicize. They didn't have a chance to do anything. takes time to publicize, it takes time to do, to send out notices to the press and be willing to be interviewed and go and go and meet and speak to people, and that takes time. That could take up a whole day. JTF got into the picture. JTF now sends money to help them, and so that they can survive there. And so now there is a public relations campaign that they are waging. Every time Jews are attacked, every time Jews are attacked by the police and the army, every time they destroy a Jewish home or Jewish property in Judea and Samaria, every time there's an incident with the Hilltop Youth, JTF is there to make sure that they can publicize it, that they can go to certainly right-wing sites so that hundreds of thousands of right-wing Jews will be aware of what's going on, which the government... And the government is sensitive to that. They are sensitive to public opinion, and they are sensitive to people finding out about what they're doing there. And that's only because of JTF helping. If JTF weren't there, it would be a completely different universe there. They would be in danger of completely falling apart. The whole movement there would be in a lot of trouble. So, for Jews who live in Israel, they should join the Hilltop Youth. Or support them. Help them, support them in whatever way possible. For Jews who don't live in Israel, if you love Israel and love the Jewish people and really want to help Israel, the best thing you can do now is help JTF to help the Hilltop Youth. If you help JTF, you're helping the Hilltop Youth. That's the best thing you can do for Israel now. There is nothing more effective and more important for the survival of Israel now than what we're doing. This is literally the movement to save Judea and Samaria from a complete Arab Nazi takeover, which would be a catastrophe of unspeakable proportions for the Jewish people and for the state of Israel. Chas v'chalila, God forbid. Thank you, Ron, and I want to thank everybody else. And I hope people enjoyed the program. And we'll be back, Bezrat Hashem, next week with more questions and answers. And again, people who want to ask questions and answers can just go to the forum and you'll see the thread where you can post your questions and answers. Until next week, for JTF, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.